The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
What we're going to do now is we're going to play you some clips from rather strange political interviews, most of them from the UK, some from here, because yesterday on BBC Radio 4, the presenter Eddie Mair was talking to the British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson. This man could be the next British Prime Minister. Think of that when you hear how he struggled to explain how plans laid out in the Queen's speech would tackle the burning injustices identified by Theresa May.
Last July in Downing Street, in her famous Just About Managing speech, on the day she became Prime Minister, Theresa May described several burning injustices, as she put it. What does this Queen's speech do to make sure the criminal justice system stops treating black people more harshly than white?
Well, there are measures in the, the bill on the courts, which I think is supposed to address some of those issues, and I think one thing in particular that we are looking at is measures to hang on a second.
Let me turn to another burning injustice that she highlighted. What does this Queen's speech do to improve mental health care?
Well, what we want to see on mental health care is a proper understanding, and there indeed I think you will find to get back to your first question.
Well, why don't we do the questions in the order I'm asking them? It's not a two Ronnie sketch. You can't answer the question before last.
Boris Johnson, who might just be the next British Prime Minister. Of course, recently in the British election campaign, our own regular contributor Nick Ferrari at LBC Radio conducted an interview with the Shadow Home Secretary Diane Abbott, in which she simply didn't know how much Labour's policy to add 10,000 more police officers would cost.
Recruit the 10,000 police men and women over a four-year period, we believe it'll be about £300,000.
£300,000?
Sorry,
10,000 police officers? What are you paying them? How much will they cost?
About £80 million.
About £80 million?
Yeah.
Right. How do you get to that figure?
We get to that figure because we anticipate recruiting 25,000 extra police officers a year, at least, over a period of 4 years. And we're looking at both what average police wages are generally, but also specifically police wages in London.
I don't understand. If you divide 80 million by 10,000, you get 8,000. Is that what you're going to pay these policemen and women?
No, we're talking about a process over 4 years.
I don't understand. What is he or she getting? 80 million divided by 10,000 equals 8,000. So what are these police officers going to be paid?
We will be paying them the average...
Has this been thought through?
Of course it's been thought through.
And of course, the Labour Party leader, Jeremy Corbyn, who did so well in the election in the sense that he increased the Labour vote, was still about 60 seats short of forming a government. He had his own issues when he was on BBC Radio 4's Women's Hour with Emma Barnett, talking about his party's plan to offer free childcare to two-year-olds.
The point I'm trying to make is that we're making it universal so that we are in a position to make sure that every child gets it, and those that can at the moment get free places will continue to get them. Those that have to pay won't, and we'll collect the money through taxation, mainly through corporate taxation.
So how much will it cost?
I'll give you the figure in a moment.
You don't know it? You're logging into your iPad here. You've announced a major policy and you don't know how much it will cost?
Can I give you the exact figure in a moment,
please? Is this not exactly the issue with people and the Labour Party, which came up under Gordon Brown, that we cannot trust you with our money?
Not at all.
You don't know the figure?
All of our manifesto is fully costed and examined.
You're holding a manifesto, you're flicking through it, you've got an iPad there, you've had a phone call while we're in here, and you don't know how much it's going to cost.
Can we come back to that in a moment?
What, when you've looked it
well,
up?
Well, look...
My point is, it's quite troubling. This is a policy you're launching today, Mr Corbyn, and you don't know how much it's going to cost. It hardly inspires the voters.
Of course, it's not just current-day politicians who've had problems. During the 2010 British election campaign, the then Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, took to the streets to talk to potential voters. And there was a bit of a risk involved. He had questions posed to him by a 65-year-old former council worker, lifelong Labour voter, Gillian Duffy, who bumped into him in Rochdale as she was out buying a loaf of bread. She made some fairly pointed remarks about debt and immigration, but didn't seem to have unsettled the British Prime Minister too in June. In fact, she described him as a very nice man. But let's hear what he had to say about her, picked up by a Sky News microphone that he was wearing as he got back into his chauffeur-driven Jaguar.
There is no life on the dole for people anymore. If you're unemployed, you've got to go back to work.
You can't say anything about the immigrants because you're saying that you're no. But all these Eastern Europeans, what are coming in? Where are they flocking from?
A million people come from Europe, but a million people, British people, have gone into Europe. You do know there's a lot of British people staying in Europe as well. Good to see you. Thanks very much. That was a disaster. Well, I just should never have put me with that woman. Whose idea was that?
No, I didn't see.
That's Sue, I think. They're just ridiculous.
I'm not sure they'll go with that one.
They will go with it.
What did she say?
Oh, everything. She's just a sort of bigoted woman. Said she used to be Labour. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Ooh, calling a potential voter a bigot. As one listener texts in, everyone needs to watch the BBC series The Thick of It. Today's politics has turned to this programme. Of course, we're not immune from it here in Ireland as well. Remember the famous Late Late Show where Pádraig Flynn made comments regarding the property developer since deceased Tom Gilmartin and a donation of 50 grand to the Fianna Fáil party, which Flynn, of course, pocketed for himself. Gay Byrne asked questions as to what Flynn knew of Gilmartin. And of course, Tom Gilmartin got very upset about innuendo in the comments from Pádraig Flynn. And then, of course, Pádraig Flynn also made comments about how difficult it was to fund his own lifestyle on the salary he was on.
As far as I am concerned, I get, give or take, it works out at about, with expenses, 140,000 a year, and I pay 30.3% tax on that. So it's about a net 100,000. And out of that 100,000, I run a home in Dublin, Castlebar, and Brussels. I want to tell you something. Try it sometime when you have a couple of cars and three houses and three homes and a few housekeepers, and I want to tell you and everything else. But remember, it's a well-paid job. It's a well-paid job. About 100,000 a year net.
Running three houses. Do you need three houses?
Well, I have to live somewhere.
In Brussels, yes. And then Dublin.
Yes.
And then
and Castlebar. Yeah.
Okay, the most famous of them all, perhaps, though, was the interview, which I suppose was the beginning of the end for Taoiseach Brian Cowan in September 2010. He went on RTE's Morning Ireland programme after a late night session at the Fianna Fáil Think-In, which, according to various accounts, ended for him at around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and he was back on radio at around 8:30.
Well, unfortunately, I've been looking at the Fine Gael policy insofar as I can decipher it, and others, and indeed, and they were suggesting that the adjustment would be on the expenditure side totally.
The implementation, in many respects, of the Good Friday the Croke Park Agreement. No, again, that is legislation that's in place. That's legislation that's in preparation.
Yes, what was the tweet immediately that went from Simon Coveney? What an uninspiring interview by the Taoiseach this morning. He sounded halfway between drunk and hungover and totally disinterested. Okay, we sometimes struggle to remember even what we've done in this programme last week, or I do at least, because we do so many things on the programme. We're wondering were there any instances of politicians who perhaps didn't cover themselves in glory. One that we did pick out is when Mary Mitchell O'Connor was appointed as Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, a job that Leo demoted her from last week. I asked her questions about her credentials and experience for the position.
Well, first of all, I was a school principal, and I suppose, you know, I ran a school of 600 children, and I was responsible for numerous stakeholders, including maybe something up to about 80 staff in that school. And then, you know, it was during the recession, I merged two schools together. I would have managed all the stakeholders, and I suppose the big thing was that I had a vision for the education of the children, and I have a vision for this job. I want to ensure that the jobs will spread right across the country. I'm from Galway myself. I'm very aware of jobs being, you know, of the country suffering during the recession, and I want to make sure that they feel the recovery right across the country.
But how is your experience relevant, though, Minister? No, Minister, sorry, I have to ask. How is your experience relevant? I mean, there are people listening to this who are involved in businesses all around the country who know all about having to sell, having to manage costs, having to deal with VAT, having to deal with all sorts of issues as they try and grow their business, employment issues, all the rest of it. Do you think that they would be confident that somebody who has a background in running a school would understand what is involved in running a small and medium enterprise?
Well, I actually owned a business myself in Drogheda a number of years ago, and then I also am a beef farmer's daughter, and I can tell you that I have been in meat factories, in halal factories, where guts and blood ran around the factory floor, so I'm well able and have loads of experience.
And what about foreign direct investment? What experience do you have with dealing with major multinational companies?
Well, actually, I suppose as a TD, I would have worked with Sandyford Business District Association. In fact, I have been the keynote speaker at many of their AGMs. I have also, you know, when I was working as the chairperson of the Education Committee, I had a lot of work to do with Dell and with Microsoft.
That was Mary Mitchell O'Connor, who, of course, Enda Kenny made the responsible minister for trade and employment and whatever. She was demoted by Leo Varadkar last week. She is now the super junior in charge of third level education.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.